Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Flight 253, the passenger from Amsterdam to Detroit, attempted to set off an explosive device about 10 minutes before the plane landed in Detroit. And, of course, it takes us back to September 11th, 2001. This is an Al-Qaeda-motivated effort to kill Americans, kill Christians, kill Jews. And on September 11th, I was on the air during the unfolding of the attacks up in Fort Collins, Colorado, on the Information Radio Network. And I'd like to share with you a couple thoughts. Of course, after the shoe bomber failed to bring down a plane, we have all had our shoes searched. And I don't have an objection to that. I mean, the airlines, these planes are their property. The passengers are their responsibility. And if they want increased security and the federal government is willing to support them in that, then they have every right to search your shoes and your luggage and your hairspray. And now maybe your underwear. I'm not sure where it will go. But I'd like to share with you what was said on live radio during the attack on September 11, 2001, and then fully posted on our website to kgov.com on the next day, addressing security at airlines regarding terrorist attacks and some related issues. All right, here's how our article starts that went on the internet September 12, 2001. Security, airline security. The 9/11 attack, the hijackings, were not a failure of airport security personnel. And not is bold and in italics. The hijackings were not a failure of airport security personnel, but were a failure of security strategy. Hijackers will always be able to get weapons of some type onto airplanes. Is that true or no? How about ceramic weapons that you don't even show up on a screening? Hijackers will always be able to get weapons of some type onto airplanes, even ceramic or plastic knives invisible to metal detectors. Pilots should be armed. Remember George W. Bush came out against pilots? The pilots who wanted to be armed. One of the pilots' unions said, "We should be armed." And George W. Bush, conservative, he came out against it. We can't trust pilots. We could trust them with an aircraft with 400 people in it, but not with a weapon to defend themselves in the cockpit. Pilots should be armed, and crew members should have access to weapons. As on Israel's El Al Airlines, undercover armed security guards should fly, at least on random flights. Also, police and government officials should fly armed. How many friends of Bob and Yurt Live are out there who are federal agents and they're harassed if they want to bring a gun onto a flight? They're licensed law enforcement officers and they're harassed. Police and government officials should fly armed. This type of hijacking would not have succeeded on El Al Airlines, and of course that's true. So 9/11 was not a failure of airport security, and I suggest to you that the vast majority of the talking heads on air, radio and TV, and in print could not see through this simple issue. It was not a failure of airport security. How tight will the security get? How tight will everyone take a blood test? I mean, how tight will the security get at airports? Is that ultimately the solution? You see, there's a liberal approach and a conservative approach. The liberal approach is to fight crime by making it impossible for anyone to commit a crime. That's lunacy. It doesn't work. The conservative approach is to have deterrence so that people will not commit crimes. Will not versus cannot. Which has the possibility of succeeding long term? Will not or cannot? Human beings are too creative. Inmates in prison easily commit crimes up through murder and riots. So will not or cannot? So first off, airline security, these kinds of attacks are not a failure of airport security personnel, but they are a failure of security strategy. Now, self-defense. This was the second bullet on September 12th, 2001, that we posted on our website at kgov.com. Heroism on the flight that crashed in Pennsylvania prevented that plane from hitting its Washington target. We should encourage and teach self-defense. You know, we don't. We teach people, do whatever the terrorist tells you to do. If a rapist comes after a woman, do whatever he says. The only thing that matters is that you don't get killed. That's not true. Don't do whatever he says. Don't ever allow him to take you to a secondary crime scene. But resist everything he says. Run and scream. If you can't run and scream, kick, attack, defecate, do whatever you have to do. Scream, bite. Don't do anything he tells you to do. And you know what the official federal government policy toward hijackers was for decades? Do whatever they tell you. Do whatever they tell you. So, boy, that's really a deterrent to hijacker wannabes. So we should encourage and teach self-defense. Our war against guns has created a victim mentality. Pilots have heretofore been taught to comply with hijackers as consistent with our victim mentality war against guns. Guns enable self-defense and deter criminals. Remember Mel Gibson's movie Ransom, where a guy kidnapped his kid and he wanted $1 million, and Mel Gibson goes on TV and shows the $1 million and he says, okay, here's the ransom. And you're not going to get a penny of it. But any of your friends who helped me kill you, they're going to get it all. And everybody cheered, and the liberals hated themselves because they cheered. See, these kind of movies, they're a preview for Judgment Day, when the wicked get it and they get it good. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mel Gibson, all these. They don't realize, but they're making movies that are previews for Judgment Day when the wicked get what they deserve. In 9/11, that was a preview for the Great Tribulation, which is coming. But this was the wrath of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. The Great Tribulation will be the wrath of God poured out on the world for our wickedness in killing innocent children, in destroying the very concept of marriage between a man and a woman. So prosecution, third bullet, September 12, 2001, prosecution, passed legislation. Now see what you think of this, all right? This is the day after 9/11. So the day after, maybe some thoughts are unreasonable. It's overreaching. It's overreacting. See what you think about this. Prosecution, passed legislation to prosecute all members of known terrorist organizations for murder and prosecute their active supporters for conspiracy to murder. If you support terrorism, the intentional targeting of innocent men, women, and children to kill them to achieve some foreign policy objective, then you're a terrorist. You know, terrorists are criminals, but not all murderers are terrorists. Terrorists, this is when individuals and private organizations take upon themselves the authority of states, of nation states, and they think that they can go to war. And God did not authorize this, because when nations go to war, there's a deterrent there, because nations have targets. There are consequences. Cities are vulnerable when nations go to war. But when individuals go to war and start killing women and children to obtain their own foreign policy objectives, that's not just murder, it's also terrorism. And I submit to you also that not only do most talking heads, not only are they unable to explain the difference between airport security and security strategy, but they also can't really explain what terrorism is and why terrorism is so much different than common crimes. When individuals and private organizations take upon themselves the authority of states to use force to try to implement foreign policy objectives, that is terrorism. And God has authorized governments to go to war. They might do so wrongly, and then I fear for them on Judgment Day, but God has authorized governments to use lethal force to implement foreign policy at some time. Like the Emperor Hirohito in Japan is worshipped as divine, and he attacks Pearl Harbor, and so America builds an army in the Pacific, and we go after him. And the Germans are invading Europe, and they're killing the Jews, and we build an army in Africa, North Africa, and we go into Sicily and Italy and France, and we go after the Germans, and we destroy them. That's all justified. But for individuals to take it upon themselves to use lethal force to achieve their foreign policy objectives or even their domestic policy objectives, that leads toward anarchy. It's immoral. It's murder. But it's not just typical crime. It's terrorism. Now, the killing of innocent children in America, that in and of itself is cause for America to be weak morally and spiritually, and the hearts of millions to be turned against God. And so here in Colorado, there's been an effort to recognize the God-given right to life of the unborn child with our personhood amendment. We got on the ballot in 2008. We got 600,000 votes, not 570,000 as we had previously reported, but the latest numbers on the Secretary of State's website, 600,000 votes in a liberal state. And we doubled the conventional wisdom of what percentage of the public would vote for a total abortion ban. We doubled it, and that was with the opposition of virtually all the major Republican pro-life candidates and all the big pro-life groups, and we doubled it with a grassroots effort. And so now we're trying to get back on the ballot for 2010. We need 100,000 signatures, and there are 40 states that have begun personhood efforts, legislative efforts, amendment efforts, signature drives, personhood steering committees, 40 states. You try to organize an event in one city on 40 street corners. Just try to do it and see how hard it is. 40 street corners. To get people to recognize the God-given right to life of the unborn child, see how hard it is, and God has blessed this effort to where now 40 states are pursuing personhood efforts. That's extraordinary. And National Right to Life has been against this for 30 years, and some of those states, the personhood efforts are being run by their state affiliates. And some presidents of state right-to-life groups, affiliates of National Right to Life, are pursuing and advocating personhood. And some board members of National Right to Life state affiliates are sponsoring personhood amendments. It is extraordinary what has happened in the last few years. It's absolutely extraordinary. So now we need 100,000 signatures. And I'd like to go to a Christian bookstore right now for a Man on the Street report, Mardell. Actually, it's a woman on the street report. Leslie Hanks, co-sponsor of Colorado's Personhood Amendment. Leslie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having us on today.
What an honor to have you on, Leslie. I've heard from my producer that you're getting signatures at this Christian bookstore.
Oh, it is so fantastic to be in a nice store that is just blessing our community by allowing us access to their customers. And we're warm, which is a really good thing. We're in the lobby. Your mother's with me today.
Connie Sharon and Leslie Hanks are in the lobby of Mardell. And Leslie, for one, let's encourage people in the audience to thank Mardell by shopping there.
Absolutely. They need to come in. I have to tell you, all the Christmas cards are on sale for half price, so it's a good time to get stocked up for next year.
Well, now there's a great idea.
Yeah, so they should come down and bless the store for blessing us. It's just been fabulous. I think I've gotten 50 signatures since I've been here about 10 this morning.
All right.
And when I go to Safeway, the rate isn't quite that good. So this is warmer and...
Yeah, well, we're thankful. We're very thankful for Safeway allowing the gathering of signatures. And we're thrilled also that at Mardell, we get signatures even more quickly.
Yes, we have a lot of folks here that are thanking us for being here for the babies. So it's a real, real wonderful place to be, and it's a real encouragement.
So, Leslie, let's think through this. For one, there are a couple Mardell bookstores in the Denver metropolitan area, right? Are you familiar?
You know what? I'm only familiar with this one. So if there's another one, I don't know where it is.
Where are you at? You're at on South Wadsworth, right?
Yeah, near Quincy.
Near Quincy, 4887 South Wadsworth.
Right.
So that means 49 blocks south of zero.
Yep.
What in the world is zero in Colorado and Denver? It's Ellsworth. So 49 blocks south of zero on Wadsworth. Now there's another one on 16th Street in Denver, I think. Am I wrong? Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. The other one is in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
On 5964 Barnes Road.
Okay. Well, this is quite a jaunt from Watkins as it is. I don't think I'll go to Colorado Springs, but if we have listeners down there, I would encourage them to go see if they would be willing to let people gather signatures at the Colorado Springs store. I bet they would.
Mm-hmm. What a good idea. And we do have listeners in Colorado Springs. So let's explain to people how they might, you know, approach that store and ask for permission to gather signatures there. First, you need a petition, right?
That's a good place to start, right? And we're happy to mail petitions to any listener. People can call Colorado Right to Life and ask Donna to fill out an envelope and mail one to them. And we still have until about the first week of February to get signatures and turn them in. So
the phone number there, go ahead, phone number.
303-753-9394.
303-753-9394. That's Colorado Right to Life. Of course, you are a co-sponsor. You're the longtime vice president of Colorado Right to Life. And Leslie, thank you for really a life's work of ministry and service to the Lord and to the innocent. But then there's also Gualberto Garcia Jones,
yes,
who is your co-sponsor with Personhood Colorado. And
right,
you guys, this is a joint project, and they also are distributing the petitions.
That's
so
right.
So whether you go to personhoodcolorado.com or coloradortl.org, either website online, or you just call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. Now, Leslie, we're talking about this for Mardell in Colorado Springs. Hopefully a couple people will do that and approach the store. But really, any Christian in Colorado listening to this who's at least 18 years of age, any Christian maybe who's not a felon, could you be a felon and collect signatures?
No. No, you can't.
Okay, so if you're not a felon, I'm looking at our studio audience real carefully, see if anybody's hiding their face. So if you're not a felon and you're a Colorado resident over age 18, then you could be carrying a personhood petition.
That's right. And Bob, you know, another thing I'm so thrilled about this opportunity today, I actually met a pastor. I gave him three petitions. I gave another lady a petition. The pastor said he'd give us a quote about why other pastors should be involved in the personhood movement.
Oh, praise
so
God.
So it's just been such a blessing to be here today.
Praise God. There are actually thousands of conversations that take place. Thousands. Let me repeat one between a young man named Bo Ballantyne and a young woman at a church in the Denver metropolitan area. Now, Bo Ballantyne and his father, Mark, between them, so far, this effort, this go-around, they've collected 1,800 signatures.
They're absolutely phenomenal.
1,800 signatures. And let me tell you about one of those signatures. A young woman came up and read the simple sentence on the petition to recognize that the baby in the womb is a person from the beginning of his or her biological development. She read that and she said, you know, I want to sign this, but I'm thinking about rape and incest, and I don't think I could sign it. And Bo said to her, I can explain that to you. And she said, well, what do you mean? And he said, there's a war going on within you between your flesh and your spirit. Your flesh is warring against your spirit. Your spirit knows what is right and knows that you should protect every child, but your flesh is warring against your spirit to stop you.
And she sounds like a future pastor to me.
It sure does. And she said, and Mark Ballantyne was there as a witness, she said, do you know what? You are exactly right. I want to sign that petition.
Oh,
and
praise the Lord.
She signed the Colorado Personhood Petition. There are thousands of conversations going on where people who don't know one another, sometimes their fellow church members, are encouraging others to take a stand, to recognize the God-given right to life of unborn children and sign this petition. Leslie, if we were in Germany and we tried to stop the killing of the Jews, the Nazis would kill us.
That's right. And we're so complacent here. You know, most people just put it out of their minds that 4,000 babies die every day in this country.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. And so here in this country, they're not coming after us to kill us, but it's maybe going to take courage to let other people know that I think we should obey God, honor God, and not kill children.
Absolutely. Bob, have you seen, I saw it on Facebook today, Walter Hoy, the fabulous reverend in California who is the sponsor with Lila Rose of the California Personhood Initiative, he has a piece out that Tom Heffling put up on the
America's Independent Party, right?
Right, website, and it's called Why I Can't Wait, and it is so well written.
Wow.
I really encourage people to look for that online. It's Why He Can't Wait, and there are too many voices out there telling us that the time's not right, but we know it's always the right time to do the right thing.
It's always the right time to do the right thing. And could you imagine, Leslie, when people were fighting to abolish slavery, if religious leaders said, this is not the right time to advocate that we treat blacks like human beings? Could you imagine church?
Their eternal shame if they had done that. And there are too many people today. They're ready to just write these poor babies off and say it's not my thing.
It's not my thing. It's not the right time. Could you imagine the Protestant pastors and the Catholic bishops, when there were some fighting to abolish slavery, who would say this is not the right time to try to get the government to acknowledge blacks as human beings, as full persons, as citizens. I mean, the shame, you're right, the eternal shame. And so, hey, when we go to heaven, you know, those who trust in Jesus Christ, he wipes away the tears.
Mm-hmm.
But there are tears to wipe away.
Mm-hmm.
There are the lost opportunities.
That's right.
There is the cowardice. You know,
when
Jesus listed all the sins that are committed by the people who fill hell in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the first sin he lists is cowardice.
Wow.
Cowardice.
God. Well, it does take courage to stand up and go against the tide, and the tide in this nation for the past 42 years has been pretty shameful, and one that the blood of the innocents is crying out for some kind of justice. So.
Yeah.
I'm just so honored to be involved with something that has the potential to end abortion in my lifetime after having spent a lot of years.
Many years.
Taking the advice of National Right to Life, and I don't see a whole lot of progress with what they're doing.
Yeah, many, many years. The rescue movement 20 years ago, Leslie, was the last best hope to stop child killing.
That's right.
But the rescue movement imploded from within due to immature and bad leadership, and also, of course, the federal government attacked it with the FACE, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. And so now 20 years has passed, and there's a new best hope. You know, you just said it's always the right time to do the right thing. those who advocate regulations, laws that end with, and then you could kill the baby, it's always the wrong time to do the wrong thing.
That's true, too.
So they think it's not the right time, and they want to wait until our godless governing officials are willing to protect children in the womb, and only then will they have the courage to advocate the same. Isn't that tragic?
That is absolutely tragic.
So when the people lead, the leaders will follow. A small group will create such social turmoil and unrest over the killing of innocent children that the government will probably hate us, Leslie, more than they hate the abortionist, but they will finally stop the killing of innocent children because we will make it intolerable.
Well, Lord, let it be so.
Mm. Leslie, so people can call Colorado Right to Life. They go to personhoodcolorado.com and get petitions, right? I'd say right now, petitions and money, those are the two most important things, with prayer for both.
Absolutely. And I would encourage people to look at that Personhood Colorado website. Look for the oral arguments video that took place during the Roe v. Wade hearings. And listen to Harry Blackmun admit that if the baby in the womb is declared a person, the case for Roe collapses. That advice should have been taken a long time ago, but praise the Lord, we're taking it now.
Well, right, because that's the only reason it's wrong to kill a baby. It's not wrong to cut out a tumor, because a tumor is not a person.
That's right.
It's not wrong to kill a chicken and eat it, because a chicken is not a person. So it's wrong to kill the fetus in the womb, because that fetus is a person made in God's image and likeness.
That's right.
Yeah, so in his wickedness, he was right. It's like Jesus talking about the unrighteous judge who, though he did not fear God nor man, he finally did what was just because of the woman who was relentless and wouldn't stop nagging him. Leslie, you are that nag. You are that woman. It is an honor, isn't it?
It is. It's an honor to be a voice for those who have no voice.
Amen. And I'll be a nag, too. I'm a Mr. Nag.
Well, there you go. Well, right. I just encourage people to get involved. It's so rewarding, and you'll never regret trying to fight for the innocent among us whose lives are just being decimated at 4,000 a day every day in this country. We just forget. Mm. We forget that that's going on.
Yeah.
And if you're not carrying a petition, go out and help Joe Scott on the front lines at the killing clinic. Send us some money. I mean, anything you can do. If you can't carry a petition, you can write a check. Right, Bob?
Do something. And if for some reason, if you don't like Leslie Hanks, then fight for personhood in Nevada.
That's right.
Right? Just
or
do.
Or go meet Guabe, because he's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. And just do something or get out of the way, but do something. All right. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you, Leslie Hanks. All right. And you know what? If you have a church and your church hasn't taken a stand yet to get signatures, you should be the person to approach your church. Don't wait for Leslie to do it. She probably doesn't even know your pastor. Please pray and help.